I also want to have a really competent, capable director. He's not. He's a showboater. He's not my man or not my man. I didn't appoint him. He was appointed long before me. But I want somebody who's going to do a great job. And I will tell you, we're looking at candidates right now who could be spectacular. And that's what I want for the FBI.
That was Donald Trump in the interview with NBC News yesterday with Lester Holt. David Axelrod is joining us in the studio, and we appreciate your time, sir. Before we get to the details surrounding his reaction to Comey and all that, you know, you were a guy who was a communications director at the highest of levels. Yeah. And
this was not textbook.
Yes. Thank you. And David Axelrod, thank you very much. X-Files, tomorrow night on CNN.
I'm a trained professional, and I'm telling you, that was not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you might be right. But, you know, he also tweeted out today, and let's just start with this, that maybe we shouldn't have daily press briefings anymore. We'll just respond to press inquiries with written responses because I'm so fast and dynamic. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. This is exactly what he said.
Staff can't keep up with him.
Staff can't keep up with, you know, accuracy.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, that means that he changes his story so quickly that they look foolish when they go out there with the official version only to get their cut off at the knees by the president, which is exactly what happened, not just to the staff, but the vice president of the United States went out there and said the president acted on the recommendation of his deputy attorney general. And the president said, nah, not really. I was going to do it, whatever their recommendation was. And so he is the communications problem in the White House. His fits of pique, his mercurial nature, his changing stories make it almost impossible to be a spokesperson for the president. And oftentimes you're out there trying to defend the indefensible, you know, crowd size stories and so on. So, everybody makes their choices. It's an honor to work in the White House. People made their choices. I've known a Spicer for years, you know, and he was a highly respected and well-liked guy in Washington. But it's like damn Yankees, you know, you make your bargain and then all of a sudden the due bills come.
Yeah.
Regarding the tape scandal then, David, you know, the tweet that the president put out today saying you better hope that there aren't tapes of our conversations and Comey. Sean Spicer today said that needs to stand for itself. That tweet should stand alone.
Yes, I think that tweet was probably one of those fits of pique of the president's, and I'm sure the advice that Sean got from cooler heads in the White House was, don't try and explain it, don't interpret it, get away from it as quickly as you possibly can, and that's what he did. The peculiar thing that he did, though, was that he denied that it was a threat. And there's no way that you could read that. I mean, I guess you could call it, you know, useful, helpful advice to a departing employee, but I don't think so. I think it was very
better hope.
President, I guess, went to see. He hauled himself in front of the judge, you know, Judge Jeanine on Fox, and he refused to elaborate on all of that too. So I think maybe some the White House counsel said, "Hey guys, ixnay on the apes tay."
Let's listen to Fox News has just released this piece of audio from his interview, sit-down interview with Judge Jeanine, which is going to air tomorrow.
Are you moving so quickly that your communications department cannot keep up with
yes,
you?
Yes, that's true.
So what do we do about that?
We don't have press conferences, and we do...
You don't mean that.
Well, just don't have them. Unless I have them every 2 weeks, and I do myself. We don't have them. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
first of all, you have a level of hostility that's incredible. And it's very unfair. Sarah Huckabee is a lovely young woman. You know Sean Spicer. Mm-hmm. He is a wonderful human being. He's a nice man.
Is he your press secretary today and tomorrow? Will he be tomorrow?
Sure. He is. He's doing a good job, but he gets beat up.
Will he be there tomorrow?
Yeah, well, he's been there from the beginning.
That was a strange answer.
That's a non-denial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure.
But to your point, how could anyone really project one voice from this White House when it does seem to be changing?
Well, that's one problem. The other problem is even when the story doesn't change, sometimes the stories are so preposterous that you look ridiculous advancing them. And I think that, you know, what's clear is the president spends most of his day watching TV. He, you know, Time Magazine just did a story about this. You know, he clips things that he wants to clip. And I think that I'm told Sean checks with him every night to see whether he had any commentary on his press briefing that day. You know, Donald Trump considers himself a producer as much as he is a president, and he sits there and he's producing like the world's greatest reality show.
Oh, boy, is it ever. Well, I think there is some wisdom to that, because I think what he is doing is he believes that the presidency is really a front man for, you know, a policy bank that's behind him. And as the front man for it, he's going to find his way to get things done however he's going to do it. And sometimes it's going to be ugly and it's going to be messy. And it's just sort of the way he's always done it. But at the end of the day, he will get that done. And there have been a number of things, despite all of the, you know, sort of the lack of situational awareness and the blizzard that all of us are, you know, who are trying to cover this week are in. He's done a number of executive orders. He's solidified.
There were some pretty serious things in the last couple of days. He put Chris Kobach, the Secretary of State of Kansas, very controversial guy, in charge of a commission now to study voting, to chase down one of his, you know, things, which is this notion that there are millions of illegal voters out there, no evidence to support that. And then today, the Attorney General reversed an Obama policy relative to the sentencing of nonviolent offenders, part of this movement from the left and right to reform the criminal justice system. He blew that one up. So these are big, meaty things. And I think that part of what's going on is that there's a lot of signifying to the base, the conservative base of the Republican Party, to keep people on board through these choppy waters.
Okay. Now, speaking of that, I've noticed some over the last few days, a little bit of a crack, at least at Fox News, in terms of their coverage of him. Chris Wallace, in promoting his Sunday show today, was talking about how this is some of the most unusual things. This is the most unusual period of time he's ever covered in Washington, D.C. And obviously, you know, Chris Wallace comes from a legacy, right, of great reporters. Mm-hmm. And he is and he was asked specifically by Shepard Smith, who, you know, not exactly always 100% in the Fox News
role. He's been both of them have been pretty straight reporters.
Right. But today he said he's disturbed by it. And then Jerry Willis, who was their Fox Business reporter, said of the letter from Trump's law firm stipulating that he has not accepted money from the Russians in the last 10 years, with a few possible exceptions, and then yes, to run through them, the Miss Universe pageant, talked about some real estate stuff that's over there, and about a real estate piece that he sold here. He sold to some oligarch a piece of property for $90-something million. And then Jerry Willis went on to say, yeah, but they're not talking about where Russian money could be coming from, the Bank of Cyprus or the Virgin Islands or any of those other places where money is transferred.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, it's interesting that Fox News is taking that position.
Yeah, it is, because we're told that Rupert Murdoch speaks frequently with the president, and that they apparently have a good relationship. But, you know, I know Chris Wallace well. He's been on my podcast. I did his show frequently when I was in the administration, and he was tough, but he was fair, and so I'm not surprised to hear him say that. On this issue of the Russians, one of the things that made this week so surreal was the day after the Comey firing, the appearance in the Oval Office of the Russian foreign minister and the ambassador, Kislyak, who's at the center of a lot of this controversy and who's been identified as a spy master, mm-hmm. a guy who runs Russian spies in this country, sitting in the Oval Office, posing with pictures for the president. No American media allowed in to capture the moment. The only reason we have images is because the Russian media was so eager to release these photos. And when the president was asked why, he said, well, Putin asked me to do it. What was he going to say? No. The answer is yes. You should have said no. And so all of this has made this an extraordinary week.
It is amazing to me, because he's got that picture of the grip and grin with Kislyak, where I've never seen Trump smile as big as he did there. And then when he sat with one of our most important allies, with Angela Merkel, and he refused to shake her hand.
Yeah.
And Germany, you know, is a gigantic NATO operator with us, and it's the biggest economy in Europe. And they are...
Well, I mean, just to add to that, you know, there was just an election in France. Macron defeated Marine Le Pen, and there was... And Trump was very much signifying support for her. He didn't endorse her, but he talked about her as being consistent with his thinking. The report was that Macron and Trump had a rather cold conversation. You know, and he's continually, I mean, on the other hand, he calls Erdogan in Turkey after Erdogan passes a referendum, cutting back on democratic rights in Turkey. He invites Duterte, this president of the Philippines, who authorizes vigilante death squads. He invites him to the White House. He seems to have a fascination for autocrats, and maybe he's jealous of leaders who don't have to deal with a free press and an independent court system and these encumbrances that make it harder for presidents to just work their will. But that's part of the strength of our country.
Comey just announced he is not going to the Senate Intel Committee next week. What does that mean for the rest of this, do you think?
I don't know. And I don't know whether at some point they'll subpoena him to come. I don't know what I'd be eager to know what his thinking was. I'm sure he doesn't. My guess is that Jim Comey's had his fill for now of congressional committees. They've been that helpful for him, but clearly his story is coming out through sources who are close to him. Jim Clapper, the former director of National Intelligence, said today that Comey was uncomfortable about being invited to the White House, but felt he had to go.
Now famous meeting.
Trump intimated in his interview with Holt that maybe Comey asked for the meeting so that he could plead for his job, which...
He didn't intimate, he said it.
Yeah, which wasn't credible to people who are familiar with Comey, nor was the suggestion that Comey would offer an assurance that the president wasn't under investigation, because... An FBI director knows that an investigation isn't over until it's over, so you don't hand out assurances. And the fact that the president asked that question was stunning. So, you know, bad week.
Yeah. You heard also Comey said, CNN was citing sources saying Comey told him that he would welcome any tapes if they're out there. Bring them on.
I would suspect it's the president. I don't think there are tapes.
That's what I was going to ask.
But I would suspect that, first of all, there are strictures against, this kind of surreptitious taping. There's taping that goes on of, for example, interviews, press people in the White House will tape interviews, but the notion that the dinner between the president and the FBI director was taped is seems odd. I don't think the president, if there were a tape, I think the last guy who would want it publicly released would be Donald Trump.
And isn't it part of the Records Act now? Because didn't they pass that
in
1970s?
If there are tapes, they would have to be preserved. Mm-hmm. But
and the House Oversight Committee is asking for them. We'd like them if they're out there. The Judiciary Committee, they'll say, bring them on. We'd like to consider these as part of our look.
But I think this is going to be thrown in the vault with the evidence that President Obama had wiretapped him in that deep, dark vault.
You clearly have all of that in your
In that deep, dark vault in the bowels of the White House, that never for the public to see.
X-Files, tomorrow night, CNN.
Yes, Governor Jerry Brown.
Oh.
One of the most interesting guys you'll ever meet in American politics. Youngest governor in America, or one of them, in the 70s, comes back. Now he's the oldest governor in America, and he's had a really interesting life in between, three-time presidential candidate. Then came back and became mayor of Oakland and revived Oakland. Spent time with Mother Teresa. Mm. I mean, he is really an interesting guy.
Did you ask him? I mean, this is a legitimate question, I suppose. Did you ask about the Raiders leaving?
No, you know, I should have talked to you before.
Yes, because I would have loved to know.
You know,
being
from Chicago, I have wiped all semblance of the NFL out of my
very good move.
Brain. I don't want to get into that.
Yes,
yeah,
it'll hurt
season.
Your heart.
Yes.
I totally fully understand that.
Yes.
All right.
Who's our quarterback again?
Yes.
No,
hey,
don't
bring it up.
You could be
a Buffalo Bills fan or something, right? And can't you like go to like your childhood roots or something and do that?
I skip right to.
Basketball
season.
Yeah, well, good luck on that, too.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, all right.
Why did we have to go there? We were having such a good time.
I know. And the real sad stuff.
It
all right, the X-Files tomorrow night on CNN.
Yes, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock Chicago time.
Yes.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Thanks.